segment, which is our role as a father in the church. If you cannot take care of your affairs, respect your wife. See, they say respect is reciprocal, right? Was it nice or I know a Nigerian musician has said that, right? It's reciprocal. If your kids don't see how you respect your wife and honor your wife, and your wife respects you and honor you, what is the model for them to, you know, emulate? You know, I will ask a young adult here, what is the definition of daddy issues? Please, enlighten us. It's a very compounded phenomenon, but I've been hearing it all over the place, saying, oh, this person has daddy issues. You know, please tell us what is meant by daddy issues.
So we young men, this thing, we get to understand after we get to be with a sister for, you know, a couple of days, and just through a behavior, we're like, she has daddy issues. And when we say this, it means, you know, there's some directives that she hasn't collected from her father. You know, so we say, maybe the father is absent from your life. That's why you are here giving me this kind of behavior. You know, really quickly you can tell. We are not in a place to do that anyway, but this is what we have come to. That's why, you know, you will see the girl that is steadfast, and you should know the father behind it. You say, this girl is a solid father. That's the one you need to, you know, put your head under your shoulder and talk to. And the ones that have daddy issues, you know, we have to find our way to tell them, maybe go home first. Pick up this guy at home, and then we'll continue.
Thank you very much. Round of applause. See, the fact that the society turns that daddy issue, it speaks to the answer itself, you know. It means that it doesn't mean the person did not have father, right? The father is present, right? But it means there is a particular message, you know, a directive that wasn't passed on from that father to the child. You know, and that's the next question I'm gonna, you know, ask our panelists. You know, what is the best way to pass on a message? Is it proactive? Calling your child maybe at the age of 12, 13 and advising your child and say, this is, you know, what you should do? Or should you wait for them to experience it and then say, oh, here is the reason why you experience it? You know, like if you touch fire, you'll never touch it again in your life. Right? So is experience the best teacher, or being proactive the best way to go? Please.
I'll just speak to that. In my own view, it has to be both. You cannot just say you're proactive and less. You know, you're proactive, pass the message along. Then you follow through to ensure that the message was gotten and clearly understood.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I think the scripture says it all, and this scripture we read last week about train up a child. The scripture did not say train up a teenager. Neither did the scripture say train up a man. Train up a child. Who is a child? Age 0 to 12 before they become a preteen. You got to start training them. Maybe I should say I don't support the experience thing. Because what experience is a child of 0 to 10 going to know, to have? You got to train them. Training is the foundation for any child to become who God has ordained you to be. And if that child is not getting that training, you want to sit them down, you know, dialogue with them. I'm not saying you should be, you know, beating them and all that, but you can dialogue with them. Hey, buddy, what is going on? How can I help you? And we should know that our children, they are different though. Child A is different from child B. The way you brought up child A that came out so well might not be that way that child B is going to go. So we give the children training. Somebody say training.
Yeah.
You train them. The scripture says we should train them. My mother and my father, they trained me, and that is why I can fit in into this community of ours in this church. Many people say, oh, she's pastor's wife. No, I got that training from my parents. So let's give it to them that they trained me. So we must train our children. Children, your parents are training you so that you can become great. Just recently, one of our sons, you know, he has to, because he's the only one left in the house. And my husband is not going to be washing plates because he's the only child. He's the only one left. So we have to call him and say, hey, we know you are doing a lot, but this is training for you. My husband told him. He will help with his brother. He will do other things. And, you know, we need to, what's the word, call them so that they don't think you are using them as a slave. No. We are giving you training so that when you marry, your wife can enjoy you, your children will enjoy you. They won't just see an old father or father that is always causing the gentle in the sitting room and watching TV all the time, not helping mommy, and waiting for food to be brought to him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah! So like our pioneer just said, it's a combination of both. You know, be proactive, and then when they experience something that is have negative consequences or negative effects, you reel them back in and say, hey, remember what I told you? You know, this is the repercussion. This is why you have to, you know, set them in the right way. It is never too late. That's what I believe in. It is never too late. In our next segment, is going to get a bit, you know, serious. You know, because now we are talking about our women. This is not a joking matter anymore. Okay? We need to be ready to tackle this next one. You know, media, Ephesians 5:25. Ephesians 5:25. 20th generation, let's read. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Let's jump to 28. That so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. See, this morning when I was coming to church, I stood in the mirror for a long time, making sure everything is in place. You know, when you cherish yourself, you spend time with yourself, you know. And now the Bible is saying, just as you cherish yourself, you should cherish your wife.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a divine direction given to you. I'm not the one saying it. It's the Bible. You know, so we're going to go back to our panel and we're going to ask our panel, you know, that this is, reserved for the fathers. You know, I know our young adults and our youngins have opinions, but we will temper those opinions right now. You know, these are for grown men and women. You know, so how best can we cherish our wife as we cherish our God? You know? Hallelujah!
When you take your vows, you take your vows in and you develop your life, you keep from sickness,
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, as I was saying, when you take your vow, you say you're going to love your wife, true, thick, and thin. You, both of you make those vows to each other. You then, you know, you start out with your honeymoon, and things are all lovey-dovey and all that stuff. And then you have kids. Life gets busy. And then you start falling down and not doing some of the things you need to do. You see, that part, you know, those verses in the Bible reminds us that, you know what, We have to put that front and center every day in what we do, to always love our wives. You know, I know challenges do come up, but we have to kind of like, you know, don't forget all milestones, you know, like a birthday or, you know, anniversary, you know, get flowers, you know. Even the kids, you know, get involved in that whole process of showing the love for the other person in the relationship, the wife or the husband. Like Bright Moses said, you know, he looked in the mirror, he cares for himself. And I think we ought to remind ourselves that too. And, you know, and we don't say a lot about our partners sometimes to kind of give them all the props for all the things they do. Because, you know, to show the appreciation that we have for them. You know, so for me, I tend not to be expressive as much, but every so often I try to surprise my wife just to let her know that, you know I don't say this much, but I appreciate you. I know you, you know, I love you, you know, I love you dearly. And I do my best to try, you know, to remember like the birthdays and, you know, the Mother's Days. So I know life gets busy with all of us doing all kinds of stuff. My ideal situation would be that I would be able to just take off with my wife and leave the kids at home and just go somewhere, you know, go somewhere, you know, and just the two of us and not worry about somebody going to this sport or this event or that event, you know, but yeah, that's right, go party, so, oh, okay, got that, all right, I'll let Brian, you
know. Okay, so this is for the experienced fathers now. This question, I don't need an answer, but I think it's like, were you in the room when your child was being given birth to? Now, I'll say my own experience. Okay, what flashed through my mind? Remember I said earlier that father, when you become a father, it changes everything for you. When you are at that point where a woman is in labor, you don't feel the pain. But when you see the expression, the sound of her voice, right? At that moment, you're looking like, is she going to die? The thoughts will come, okay? Doesn't mean she's going to die, I don't mean it that way, but that thought comes in. You as a father who is responsible for that pregnancy, you start to think, this is me thinking like, well, what did I do? Why did I do it? I shouldn't have done it. Now I'm going to kill her. Oh no, God please save her. All those things ran through my mind. Then at the point when the child was born and the baby cried, then everything becomes quiet again. What am I driving at? At that point, right, the feeling of the love you have for, the feeling of the love I have for my wife hit its peak because I panicked. Okay? When baby was born and everything settled again, I now realized that, wow, so this is what it takes to have a child. So it dawned on me that life for me has changed and my responsibility has actually gone up. I'm now responsible for two people, mother and child. Now the next, now another thing I want to give is that, has anybody here experienced having a stiff neck or neck pain? Okay. So the father is the head of the house, the mother is the neck. I mean, if you have a stiff neck, you are not going to look, if it's on the right side, you cannot look right. You have to move the neck that way, and it's very uncomfortable. What am I driving at? Exactly, it hurts. So, what am I driving at? Until you fix the neck, the head cannot move freely. Okay? Until you fix the neck, the head cannot move freely. And, you know, so when you express, you show to your wife how much you love her. You may not necessarily be the kind that's very expressive, but your love comes in different forms. Okay? But let her know that I care for you, I love you and I made a vow to you and I intend to keep it till death do us part. Even in death, you still find that you love people even in death. So, yeah, so let's take that.
Thanks very much, but I do love you.
You know, we may speculate, you know, but we need to go to the source and ask the source, how can we cherish you? So in that notion, Pastor Missy, please tell us.
I stand to represent the woman. Amen. So how can you show that, you know, cherish the woman? You can cherish your woman by telling her how much you love her. Reassure her. If you can't make it every day, it can be monthly. You don't have to take her to Hawaii. You can take her somewhere else within the city. You don't have to, you know, buy all those exorbitant gifts, but you can buy her something little that will reaffirm that this person is thinking about me. I think of our men and of our African men and the pastor's wife. I think a lot of times, you know, our women, they say, oh, all these African men, they don't know how to love mommy. They don't want to, and they're like, you teach them how to love you and they will love back. And that brings me to you men allowing your wife to help you. If you know you are not performing, your wife can, you know, step into it and say, honey, let's do it this way. And it will work. I want to thank God for my husband is the pastor. But he listens. He listens. And I will give you another thing that will help you. Every morning, we say, I love you to each other. When we wake up, we pray. After the 5:30 to 6 o'clock, immediately after that we pray as husband and wife, and he tells me I love you, and I tell him I love you. Do that every morning. When you wake up, you cite your wife or your husband, just tell them right away, I love you, honey. And you can set out. It will help. It takes that woman through the day. Hey, somebody loves me. It takes that man through the day. And thinking about you that I love you. Another thing that you could do as men, I know you are busy, but you men use the technology a lot more than the women. Text messages. Ask him. I do some nasty text messages. He does some nasty text messages. Let's do such. Hey, you are the best. I just love the way you look. You know, things that we, you know, keep the family together and the relationship. We are not in couples program now. But those are the things that will help. Yes. And another thing is, maybe you see your husband, you know, dressed up. You got A plus today. You are looking. And, you know, that will make that man feel good. That will make that woman feel good. You know, by this time now, I believe all the men in the church should know what their wife likes. At least maybe the youngest is Mr. Espinosa. And he is learning. Amen. But what am I trying to say? Men, you should know what your wife likes. And also, get to know where they get those things they like. I was shocked 2 years ago when my husband came in on my birthday with a gift card of where I shop. I gave him my first, I said, you got it, man. I gave him high five 3 times. I said, you, and you know, because I was shocked that he would guess where I was shopping. Not only that, let's get our women, you know, let Let's give them me time. Don't say, oh, you spent $5. Why did you spend $5 when you know that well? They can spend some extra money. So I plead to you, men, if you want to show them that you love them, you let them be. Not every time you are commanding them, you are telling them this and that. I thank God for my husband. He left me be a, lot. And that's what makes a relationship to go well. I don't have to think about why is he trying to, you know, instruct me to do this, don't take this money, don't use that money. He makes me to be. And it has really helped our relationship. And I always let him be too. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is someone else in the audience, brother, something you want to share?
Praise Jesus.
Hallelujah.
This is not interesting. And I just want to look at it from the father perspective, because I want to hone in on that. And that's what we're looking at today. If you're talking about relationship, talking about love between men and women, there's a whole lot to it. And probably we'll handle that better at the couple's night, where the kids are not. But here now, let's just look at the perspective. As a father, the father should be the fountain of love in the house. That it is from you that love radiates. If the father is not happy in a home, happiness, that house might be devoid of happiness. Even if things are not going the way it should be, the father should be somebody, the wife and the kids should look up to, and you be the one that is comforting them, that is showing you the way and saying, look, no problem, God is in control. This is not the worst. Things are going to change for the better. It should be, that is the role you should be playing as a father. Thank you. It's the headship role. And if you look at the love of God, God looked at mankind and said, I don't want mankind to perish. Nobody asked God. God took that decision and said, who will go? And Jesus Christ said, I will go and save mankind. That is the kind of love. It is the kind of love that is not, that you cannot, that's not divisive. It is not divisive. It is not whether it is good. It is not whether it is bad. It is not whether you are happy. It is not whether you are sad. It must be constant care. Like love of Christ. Yeah, this will happen at home. There are the issues. There's no perfect home. But again, that fatherly love has to be there. The kids will come back with some issues. You're going to have issues with your wife. You're going to have family issues, but they know that once that is there, everything is in control. Daddy will take control of it. Daddy will make us feel better. Daddy will bring happiness to us. That is the kind of fatherly love that all Christian fathers should try to achieve. And God will help us as we do this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That was just a preamble into what couples, you know, then our next couples program is going to be like. So ladies and gentlemen, you are invited. Alright, so our next segment right quick is family focus. A good father must be family focused. He must be preoccupied with what, you know, like Pastor Missy said, what does my wife like? You know, what does my kids like? You know, and just to experiment that, I don't mean to put someone on the spot, right? So, but we have Matthew here who has volunteered to be part of this, right? And it just so happened that the father is here, okay? It wasn't by design. So we're going to give Matthew 5 seconds to think of his favorite movie. Matthew is going to think of his favorite movie, and then the father is going to think of Matthew's favorite movie. It's not by design. It's just for our group, you know? No pressure. Do you have your favorite movie in mind, sir? Do you have Matthew's favorite movie in mind? No. Sir, please, can you tell us what Matthew's favorite movie is?
You know, to be honest with you, we're in church. I'm not going to lie, I don't know Matthew's favorite movie. To be honest with you, I don't know Matthew's favorite movie. But I know that we've gone to several movies together.
Okay.
So we've gone to several movies together, so I'm not sure which one he likes the best. Because I haven't engaged that conversation with him regarding movies. You know, I guess I'm maybe the typical African dad where my conversations surround more academic stuff. You know, you know, he had a whole slew of toys, from the time was, yeah, come on, the train. He had a slew of those ways when he was, you know, still playing with toys. Those were his favorite. He had a whole bunch of them, you know, and he knew all of them, every bit of them, you know, and so he collected a whole bunch of them. So, okay.
All right, Matthew, what's your favorite movie? The movie what?
Eight. Oh, nice.
So, I mean, I didn't mean to put, but those are some of the things you need to be preoccupied with. You need to take into, like, you know, academic achievement is fantastic. You know, we need to keep, you know, pushing that wagon along. You know, keep saying, these are your priorities, these are what you should take into cognizance. But at the same time, we need to relax and ask. You know, what's your favorite color? What's your favorite movie? These help us to, you know, make the best decision in their birthdays, you know, celebration. You know, when my younger sister is talking about Minecraft, and I say something related to Minecraft, I see the happiness in her. You know, she said, "Oh wow, I thought you were holy. I didn't know you know what Minecraft is or what." It just shows, you know, that you have interest in that. You know, not just a provider, but, you know, just as a friend. You know, someone they can relate to. And those are the things we need to be preoccupied with, you know? And then for our last segment here is the role of the father in the church. Because I believe Pastor has said it before, that if you are preoccupied with the business of God, God will put you as a priority. So, church generation, I don't know if you know what it means to be a priority for God, but that's definitely a position you want to be in. So I'm going to put Pastor on the spot. Please, Pastor, if you want to tell us what it means for us to be preoccupied with the business of God.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
It's very simple and very, at the same time, very complicated. But being preoccupied with the things of God, I would say, is very simple. That is, all our lives we serve God. And our heartbeat becomes heartbeat of the kingdom. That is, whatever is of God, whatever God wants us to do for man, whatever God wants us to preoccupy our mind and defines our life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But I also say it's very difficult because we have this flesh that fights it, this flesh that says you have to do everything by your own power to accomplish things for yourself, and that kind of defines each other. But I stand to let us know that when we make ourselves, we are sold out for God. God also is sold out for us. We have examples in the scripture and in our secular life that we can fathom. David was a man after God's heart, and we know today what God did. He was highly anointed from the back in the, where he was in the bush. God brought him to be the leader of his own nation. For our family, it is very important that we do this. Because in life, we do not have it together. It's only God that has it together. I mean, we can just set our hearts to please God and take care of every aspect of our life. So even in the house of God, coming back to it, this is our house. This is the house of God. And when we are in there, we should not be a bench woman. We should not be someone that will be cajoling. Someone that will think that, look, without me, nothing can happen. Praise God. But we should be very, very passionate. Know that through me, things are done. Through me, not only for the sake of the gospel, but you know what? When we love God, we also have to love man. Cannot in any way separate both. Praise God. That this, as we are serving God, we are also ministering to people. We cannot be an island. There are some people that say, no, don't talk about me, or don't, just leave me alone. That cannot be. Hallelujah. How many of us have touched God this day? Hallelujah. We've all called on God. God did this for me. So who are we now to say, okay, it's I, me, and my family? No. Praise God. We must make ourselves available for one another, to be a blessing to one another. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I hope I've been able to answer it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, sir. All right. I just wanted to, end at that note, because I believe that God, if He's a focus in our life, don't worry, He'll take care of your family. When you are preoccupied with God, God will be preoccupied with you and your family. So I think that's the best note to end. But if anybody in the audience have a question that our panel can tackle, or if our panel have a question, oh yes, please, continue.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, I just wanted to add to what Pastor said, and to add to what men and generally, as an adult in church, how it can contribute. Isn't this scripture Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and every other thing. Every other thing other than dying to death will be added to you. It's a promise and it is true. It is true. So seek for the kingdom of God. Seek the things of God. Do the things that God loves. God loves souls. God loves people. And there is a child of God, and you are, you're going to be a Christian, Yes. You might not be able to evangelize physically, but pray for souls. There are lots of souls out there, that are perishing. God loves souls. So within yourself, pray for souls. Also, pray for people. People that are going through hard things. Even people that you might not even know what they're going through, but just remember people, pray for them. Pray for them. Not just for yourself, not me, my family. Yes, your family, there are things you are touching, there are things you are going through, there are things that you want, yes. But also, think about other people. We also need to learn to think about others, We're not able to reach out physically or financially, however, but spiritually, you can find time, pray for the person, pray for even people that that are going through anything, pray. So we need to form the habit of intercession as well as Christians. So when we do that, that will God loves, and definitely God will prosper us. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. So I know I'm not a father. I'm happy for that every time. At least for now. But as a teacher for a long time, and a youth development professional for quite some time now, I consider myself an adopted father from 8 to 5. At least, just to know the responsibility. The contract I've signed to be a care provider for those children that look up to me. That's why today, or hence today, when I go out in the dating scene, I don't want any more daddy issues to come back. So our fathers need to take this responsibility to provide the directives for our mothers, for our sisters, daughters, sons. Today I'm proud that I can go out there and I'm a good candidate, because my father and my mom have done and given me the records that I need to put out there. That's why my standards are high, because they have created a high standard. As well, from my experience working with kids, think of these as sponges. These are sponges. So everything that they see, they absorb. And when the world puts pressure on them, they squeeze it all out. So it's whatever they have absorbed, that's when they put out there. Every behavior is a language. So if the kid goes out there and acts one type of way, the world put the pressure on them and they squeeze it out. Guess what they're squeezing out? They're squeezing out all and everything that they've absorbed from the household. So when your child comes back and say, oh, this is the detention I got from school, think of it first that this guy must have emulated everything that happened in the house. And for child, for children, me, I was one, I considered myself a good God's son back in the days. And today, every time, I thank God for providing me with the father and the brotherly figure that I have now. But he's the leftover of whatever I didn't get from my father, I get from this guy. So I appreciate God for providing me with resources. And every man here is a resource for everyone else. It doesn't have to be your own child. Someone up out there is looking up to you to pick you as that figure. If you see this man before he was married, you will donate to him. So every man is a testament of his wife, and every wife is a testament of the man.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm so glad you didn't go back down. All right, I just want to acknowledge that Daniel for being such a good sport. I want to acknowledge Eddie and of course our sister Thousand. Thank you very much.